gentlemen, welcome to the Kinda Funny, the first ever episode 194 of the Kinda Funny Games Cast. I started as Games Daily, and I had to
Only happens to me.
The only reason that I messed up was we just had a thrilling pre-show that you can get by going to patreon.com/kindafunnygames. For $1, you could have been watching live with us, but for a couple more dollars, you can get the video with the pre and post show attached, or a whole bunch of other stuff on Patreon that's pretty cool. But that conversation, 27 minutes of thrilling conversation of Greg Miller's 9-year-old YouTube comments that we found.
Yeah.
Yep.
Pretty interesting stuff.
Pretty beautiful stuff.
Mm-hmm. Somebody's got to be out there and ask the hard-hitting questions on Avril Lavigne videos, and it will be.
It will
Thank
be
you, Kevin.
It will be
Thank you.
You,
Kevin.
Just trying to start the conversations.
Yeah,
everyone else is scared to do it.
The change you want to see in the YouTube comments. Mm-hmm. I don't need you guys are stupid. Avril Lavigne music's not good. Let's talk about the content.
Let's talk about the real content. Why
of the
is
video.
She being so mean to this man?
What did he do? Spin me a yarn. I don't care. Everybody go to the What the Hell music video from Avril Lavigne, Vivo, I'm sure, and fucking tell me what happened.
Yeah. Tell me what happened, man. Let's get to the bottom of this. This is the Kind of Funny Games Cast. Each and every week, we get together to talk about video games, all the things that we love about them. I'm Tim Geddes. This is Jared Petty. Over there, we got one of the coolest dudes in video games, Greg Miller. And goddamn, back on the boards, we have Kevin Coelho. Please go on KevCam. Please.
Yeah.
Who has this freaking bag of red hot Cheetos, and he is just, he looked at me,
enjoying them.
Made eye contact,
well,
and just licked each one of his fingers.
Just so you know, I didn't have to do it that way.
I know that.
I was like, oh, I'm going to give him something special to start the show off today with.
You have rarely been more gremlin-like than you were in that moment.
Jared, I'd like to apologize. I didn't mean for you to have to see that.
Yeah, it was amazing.
But it's collateral damage, man.
Okay. I feel like I was caught within the blast.
I like that Kevin goes out of his way to turn on the Kev Cam and then also out of his way to lean out of the frame of the Kev Cam.
Not, man, because that's the magic that Patreon producer Travis Barrett wants to see.
Travis
He's been
Barrett.
Supporting the show for a long time now. Thank you very much for that. You too can support the show by going to patreon.com/kindafunnygames. Getting all the cool stuff I told you about earlier. It's worth it. It's worth
Not
what,
to mention,
Greg?
It's worth a dollar.
Thank you.
But right now, if you were to do that and go help us on Patreon, right, you get all the benefits for the month. You get a whole month.
At the
end of a month, you hear, oh, man, if I give a dollar, I get to watch. You're like, man, $1 for a whole bunch of content I'm getting for only half the month, not a good deal. You do it right now. You get the whole month of November.
You get the whole month. You get
now
the party
the
modes
time.
Early. You get to watch Gamescast early.
Think of all the AMAs we've done for Gamescast that you could now have access to.
Those have been pretty good, too, recently.
I appreciated not the last one was good. The one before that where we got drunk and put up our feet and we're just like ranting for hours, that was pretty good.
That was real good. Real good content, guys.
It needed to be.
It was.
That's what we do. We over-deliver.
Over-deliver.
Under-promise with kinda. Over-deliver with shenanigans.
Not the funny.
I thought you were going to go with funny there. No? Not funny?
That would have been way better.
Yeah.
I was starting to... I was going to start
the shenanigans.
It's our new brand.
I'm spinning off. Start my own Patreon. Everybody who's with me.
Kind of Twitch.tv/kindashenanigans.
Let us know what you're wrong. Shenanigans too hard to spell.
Greg.
Yeah.
You've been playing a game that a lot of people have been asking about. A lot of people want to know what your opinions are on it.
Sure.
I don't think that you've given your opinions anyway.
I have not. I've stayed away from it, Timothy.
Because this is the
opinion show.
This
so everybody
show.
At home, crack open a case of Greg Opinion.
All right. And that game is Nintendogs.
No, nope. Man, I've been waiting.
All right. Oh, man. That game is Fallout 76 BETA.
Right. Break it before entry or whatever
Break
the fuck
it,
it's called.
It, pull it.
I forget what they call it. They're beta. They're Fallout beta.
Yes.
Right. Of course, your progress carries over, to which I said... All right, I'm in.
Let's
get it. But I did, though, of course, I wanted my trophy, so I was waiting for the PlayStation version.
Mm-hmm.
This week, they finally popped the PlayStation beta.
Yeah.
However, this is a dumb move. I should have just played it on Xbox to have more time with it, to have more to say about it.
Mm.
Here's what I'll tell you right now, which I find the most salient point about the Fallout 76 beta, gentlemen. I don't know how I feel about it, but I want more of it.
Okay, then good. Okay.
And I don't know if it's because I want more of it because I need to just see what's going on, really, but like... If you're not paying attention, Fallout isn't your thing. I totally understand. What they're doing with this beta is that it's not just on all the time. It's on in very specific windows. So for me, waiting for PlayStation to get there because I thought I'd carry my character over, I should have paid more attention and thought this through. Because what happened was, Tuesday we finished the Game Over Greggy show. The beta had already started. I went out there and put in 2 hours, right? And then the next beta session started like today. So today I jumped in right before recording, did like another 30 minutes or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
The way I play Fallout, of course, is I love this narrative. I love the world they're creating. I want to get lost. I want to explore everything. The way I've been playing Fallout 76, the beta is, oh, fuck, fuck, I can see that it's like fucking Majora's Mask. I know okay. the moon's about to smash into the surface. Okay. So it's like, show me everything, see everything, what's happening? And I'm just running around like a moron, like, you know, not paying attention, not listening stuff. Especially on Tuesday where I was trying to get the most out of it.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a weird one of from the announcement at E3. Hey, this is what it is. You have a lot of questions. I'm Todd Howard. I'm going to explain all these things to you. It went from, all right, cool, multiplayer Fallout. I don't know, but it's more Fallout. Then I watched the E3 presentation like, ooh, that doesn't look like my Fallout. To then hearing more people talk about it, the previews happening, doing the Best Buy Fallout party where I was actually talking to Fallout fans who had already been doing the beta, who were already hyped on it. I was like, okay, I want to play the beta and I want to get into it. I feel like as I play it, there's mechanics involved and things happening that I don't understand yet all the way through, okay. right? Like even the card packs of how they're doing perks this time around and your special yeah. and all that jazz. It's like, cool, I'm so early and I'm unlocking them. I'm just applying them and going off and doing it. I'm not seeing the normal progression. Okay. I'm not feeling the usual satisfaction of a Fallout like level and a ding. You know what I mean? Yeah. Of like, all right, it's time to go. I'm excited about doing this. But it's because I'm playing it so awkwardly, right? Okay. Where it's like, what I appreciate it, and I assume it'll be like this in the game, is that you got out of the vault real quick. Like, this isn't yeah. your traditional Fallout where you spend a ton of time in the vault to then get out so they can teach you. They're assuming you know Fallout to some extent. So at least
not squashing rad roaches in the vault, not right. finding a pistol.
Yeah, right. It's very on. Much okay. like you wake up hungover, everybody's already left, to get your shit and get out. Okay. Oh, fuck. All right, cool. And then you get out there, and it's so bizarre to get out there and see other vault dwellers running around in their jumpsuits. Yeah. But it's kind of cool.
Yeah.
Like, that, it's that like, I'm not a multiplayer dude. So it's, mm-hmm. And so many people then point out the 7 games in the last year and a half that I've loved that are multiplayer. But it's, I'm still running around being by myself with it. But then that first night, the 2 hours, I don't know if you were in the other room talking to people.
Yeah.
But like at one point, I pulled my entire drawer out of my desk and it slammed on the ground or whatever. Yeah. It's because I was looking for a mic because randomly while I was running around the world, a dude ran up to me. He's like, oh, Beyond, holy shit, I can't believe I'm playing with Craig Miller. And he started telling me other things about what to do in the world, and I was like, fuck,
cool.
Like, this is actually kind of neat. Yeah, and yeah. I couldn't find we didn't have a microphone to plug
so
in.
So that poor man thinks you're a complete jerk and just didn't want to talk to him?
I PSN messaged him.
Okay, good, good, good.
But it was like, huh, and it's that, it was like, huh, like if we were to get a world together that is just the kind of funny best friends, right? Yeah. Like this seems like that would actually be kind of cool to actually have them and talk to them, and we all go do our own things, but we're there. But the world, it's unequivocally Fallout, right? Like there's you looked at it.
Yeah, that's a question I'm going to ask you right off if you don't mind.
Sure.
Because I adore Fallout.
Sure, sure, sure.
But when I was watching you play for a very brief period, what it looked like just from the sofa and a few minutes glance was watching somebody play Fallout 4 in first-person shooter mode.
Sure.
And running around mostly exploratory and combat oriented stuff.
Do you not play first person when you play
Fallout? Sometimes I do. Okay. But how is it? Well, I mean, always I do, really. But how is it different than that? What
Well, that's what I'm trying to figure out.
Okay.
It's this weird mashup of playing it and looking at it and running around. Like, Andy came in and he's like, oof, I just don't like their engine. Like, you know, it still looks, and that's what I mean by it's unequivocally Fallout. Like, it looks like Fallout. It plays like Fallout, but then it's this weird thing of going to VATS, and this is me in my 2 hours, going to VATS, and it doesn't freeze time anymore, but it still highlights them, and I eventually unlock the ability to, like, target things, but I still don't fully understand how it works, right?
And well, so that's like, why I said first-person shooter mode, as if
like,
you weren't using VATS.
And
that's why
I
wasn't talking about not playing at first, so it's not about the shooting part.
And so that was my thing, is I, not awkwardly, I guess, but found myself in this playing Melee, which I really don't play usually with Fallout. I usually am like, I have my one handgun, I'll upgrade it, one rifle, I'll upgrade it, and, you know, always target the head and, you know, go about my business. But like, all right, cool, you know, there are the dogs running at me, right? And I'm like hacking at them instead. Like, if I have the gun out, I'm switching away from that and running into the robots we were you're seeing on the event quest, right, that had gone rogue. And I shot at them and I was like, ugh, this weapon is not in any, granted, that's the whole game. Upgrade, use a workbench, make it better.
Mm-hmm.
But it's in this weird space right now where I'm still so very in this tutorial, right? Mm-hmm. Where it is like, you know, I just hit level 5 before this, but the things are very much like, go get water, now bring it back, now purify. Like, they're teaching me these mechanics. And so, in the same way, like, you know, how I was talking to some people last night who have been playing more than me at the Halloween party, but in the same way we talk about Red Dead, and I'm just like, I don't know about this realism stuff, right? Like, one of the red flags is you have to eat and drink in the game, and like there's those separate bars for it, like that aren't just health. And somebody last night was talking about like, you have to do it all the time. Like, it's annoying. And I was like, ooh, okay. So today of like learning to purify water and cook a steak and do this stuff, it was like, okay, this is all right right now as I'm running around, but it's not what I want out of this game. But how much am I really going to have to do it? And as I level up, and if I invest my, you know, my level up points in the abilities, get away from that, you know, get more out of my food, do all these different things, will that? Right now, I'm not annoyed by it, but again, I'm not like doing the, you know, like similar to Red Dead, the 6 hour session I need to sit down and have with the game.
Yeah, I wonder about stuff like that because you enjoyed Monster Hunter World, which requires a fair amount of eating and crafting and cooking and maintenance. Yeah. Can you say why you're worried this is going to rub you the wrong way on this?
Well, I mean, Fallout is like you're out there and you're wandering the wasteland, and I want to, I like it for the stories and little episodes you get out of it. So if it is that I'm on a really cool storyline, like I ran into Mothman before this, and I was like, that's pretty fucking cool. Yeah. And he, like, he's huge and he's like way too high a level for me to deal with. But I'm like, I like that. Like, I think the world for a Bethesda game is pretty. It is the same thing of like, you look at it and it's got the hard edges. And like, yeah, when the mongrels run up to me, I'm like, oof, you are very polygonal. But it's like, you know.
You want that freedom to explore. Yeah, and well, being held back by having to eat and drink.
Exactly.
And all that
the coolest thing about Fallout always is like, what is that, right? You see the little outline on your radar. And you're like, wait, what is that over there? And you get to it and you find it. I'm not worried actively about it. I'm just wondering what it's going to be like in a long play session of how much do I need to eat? How much do I need to drink? I'm unlocking all these different quests and things to do, but they're all the same, like, diamond, I guess, or whatever, square that's yellow. Mm-hmm. So, like, when I'm glancing at the, like, radial compass, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I just have all these boxes. I'm like, why aren't these colored differently? Like, what is, and, like, I got to go in there and, like, turn them off, turn them on. There's a bunch of little things that seem quality of life different than Fallout 4, but it's been a while since I played Fallout 4, where I'm just like, okay, I gotta just, it's definitely a game you have to not relearn, but get back in the swing of playing that way, especially, you know, like where X is, you know, your action button, but triangles jump and stuff like that. I'm like, all right, I gotta go get to a very specific part of it. But then there's the opposite where I stumble on a break. It is turn off all the objectives, fuck it, I'm gonna wander over there, find a place, walk in, it's pitch black, hold the circle, and boom, you know, your Pip-Boy gives off that green light, and you get to explore, and it's like, yeah, cool, this is Fallout, this is what I want from Fallout. And it is like making a goofy character and then putting on shades or dyeing your hair or finding the new, you know, raider armor or whatever, and then seeing other people run up to you and stuff. And I don't know, there's weird stuff of the cooking and crafting stations, like, this is a weird choice, I feel, but like, if somebody's using it when I run up to it, I have to wait for them to finish using it. Like, I can't just use it, which is like, that seems stupid. No, but then data terminals, I didn't have to. There was a woman using a data terminal. I ran up on that. It popped up, and I was able to do everything.
So these may be things that get fixed after the beta, like when the frequency of
eating, but it's also, it's that, but it's also, I bet they won't be as big of a deal when we're all not in the exact same place at the exact same level.
Ah, that makes sense. Because
it is very much that I would run over there and do something and see somebody run past me, and then I would run past, I would do whatever I need to do and then run behind them, and I'm like, oh, I'm your shadow. You're doing the same quest. You're just a step ahead of me. So, like, I'd get to the crafting station, and they'd be there, or the cooking pot or whatever. Then they'd get up and leave, and I'd take it and then move off to the next
one. So predict my future, Greg.
Sure.
I adore Fallout.
Yeah.
And you also know that I don't typically play a lot of online games.
Yeah.
For me, one of the greatest joys of Fallout, I play practically purely on PC because I love cheating. I think Fallout is a better experience when you break it.
How do you break it?
Well, Fallout allows you to cheat in about a trillion different ways.
But
what
does it mean to you? Because like mods and stuff, that's different. But
yeah,
I mean, like,
well, mods are one thing. Saying, like, but no, I'm talking about just the ability to drop ammo, upgrade weapons, change behavior of things around you, create enemies, do weird stuff like that.
Okay.
That's part of the fun. They give me this really interesting playground, and then I further fool with it so that I'm filling arenas with robots and making them fight one another for my amusement because I find
it
fun.
Yeah, okay.
That's obviously not going to be a part of a massive online community game with this. Is there going to be enough open-ended weirdness to captivate me in this particular Fallout?
It's a great question, and I definitely don't think I have the answers. My prediction would be no. My prediction is, in the same way when Fallout 4 dropped, and we were all so excited, and then we all jumped in. And remember, I remember you, me, and Colin on a Gamescast, and you asked me, like, what do they need to do? What's the bare minimum you're expecting? And I was like, I'm expecting Fallout 3, but a little bit nicer. And that's what we got with Fallout 4.
Yeah.
And it was that thing of like, well, it seems like, that they kind of sequestered themselves and didn't pay attention to what The Witcher was doing or whoever else was, right? In a year of Assassin's Creed Odyssey, of Monster Hunter World, of Red Dead Redemption 2, this feels even more quaint. This feels even more like, all right, this is more Fallout. This is definitely not pushing that from the 2.5 hours. Feel like it's pushing the needle. It's going like, wow, this is a new cool thing that I have to be a part of.
But do you think that because I remember like you guys from Fallout 3 to 4, you were so excited for 4 to come out.
Yeah.
And even like with all those conversations, and even when you were checking your hype levels, when it came, you were still disappointed. You weren't like hating on it. Yeah. You were just like,
they just did the bare minimum.
It's bare minimum, and I wish there was a little bit more than this.
I didn't realize that, actually. I don't think we've ever talked about this before. So you were a little disappointed by Fallout 4?
Yeah, again, so what we're talking about, all they did for me was meet the bare minimum. They didn't, like, it was still very much Bethesda's Fallout, which is crazy to say, like, isn't that, you know what I mean? But it hadn't kept up with modern...
No, that's interesting. I actually really loved Fallout 4 and thought it was a vast improvement over 3, which is probably a discussion for
another
day.
It's an improvement in a lot of ways. I'm not arguing that. I just don't think it was like night and day. Holy shit, I can't believe I'm playing this.
I felt like the shooting was right on its own. Just a ridiculous quality of life jump right there.
See, again, but this is my thing, right? Yes, I expected the shooting between Fallout 3 and Fallout 4 to be better.
Yeah.
I kind of expected it to be even better than it was.
Oh,
you know what I mean? Like, again, when you talk about like how first-person games and shooters and stuff have progressed since that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I wonder if I gave the mental Bethesda pass just from like, hey, going from Daggerfall up to Elder or to Morrowind, and the way that they iterate on games, I was probably preconditioned to expect a more iterative than innovative.
And here's something approach. That's interesting already for me with this Fallout, and especially with the hey, you have a little bit limited time, you have to run through it, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
They're using audio diaries all over the place, you know, the ones you pop in your Pip-Boy, right? And so far, really, they're excellent. And they're doing the thing that I love of, you know, the game doesn't pause because it's online, so I start a tape and I start hearing the overseer's message back to, I don't want to spoil stuff, but that is really cool and like is part 2 or 3 from what I already heard. And I was like, oh, cool. This is a neat payoff as she starts talking. Mm. But then I can also go into my menus and I'm managing stuff and I'm eating and I'm drinking and it's not stopping the tape, right? I always bitch about that being one of my main complaints in the game of we put in all this work for these awesome audio diaries. And if you try to do anything else while it's playing, it'll stop and you'll have to restart it and fuck it all around. So it's like on that level, it's exciting of like, oh, cool. It'll be fun to wander around, find those environmental storytellings, find those weird side quests that have that while I'm also managing all the little things they want me to do. And if that's the case, if I'm being entertained while I'm eating or drinking or purifying water or whatever, it's going to be all right. And I'm going to be fine with that, I think. But if it is just cooking and just I need water, I'm running around, I'm screwed. I don't know.
Hmm.
I'm fascinated because I'm not, even now after playing it, I'm not, and again, didn't play that much of it, which I think is a huge part. Still, I'm not like, I'm going to play this one for 100 hours or I'm going to play it and immediately stop or I'm not interested. I'm in this weird thing. It's still very nebulous of like, I want that final game so I can just sit down and commit to it and be like, all right, I'm in or I'm out. Because even you figure for me with Fallout, it's always so much fun to make the character and decide what the character is going to be and how I want him or her to look. And is it going to be Taylor Swift? Is it going to be Clark Kent? What am I going to make? And in this one, it was like, ah, fuck, I'm already late. Nothing looks like me. All right, because I'd like it to look like me, but I don't have time to make it look like me. So it's just like...
Can you change it later?
Yep, you can change the fly. Yeah. Cool, cool hair, she's a girl. All right, we're running around. Name her Babs after Batgirl. Now we're just out, you know, so now I'm just running around playing, and like I love so much in these role-playing games of giving that character a story and what's happening.
Then to me, this feels like for all the kind of like worry that people have for Fallout 76 of being a different type of game... everything that you're saying, I feel like benefits having real people around you, being able to see the character. Like if that is such a touchstone for you of what it is.
You're right.
And what Jared's talking about, like kind of using it as a playground, I feel like having other people to either build that with or see what they built and just kind of walk into it and see it sounds kind of like a cool thing for Fallout.
Especially with building your camps and all that stuff. Because I did that and like there's the portable camp thing you put down and then it was, all right, build the floor, and I didn't have enough resources, but I started to. It seemed like it was already functioning better than the Fallout 4 building mechanic that I did not like. That was a turnoff for me. Now granted, I, you know, put down 4 pieces of floor and one part of a wall and I was like, all right, well that worked fine. Off to the next thing.
So you didn't fool with any of the DLC building stuff or any of that?
No, I never came back to that stuff. Okay. Yeah. I platinumed the game and bounced. Yeah, I don't know. It's really a fascinating equation of what it's going to be when November rolls around and it drops and it's like, okay, cool. Like, I'm down. I want to play more. I want to fool more with the beta if on these days I have time to jump in and do it. But I'm way more excited for the final version, add some kind of funny best friends, and then figure out how all this works and try to figure out as we go.
What's the word in the street for the beta right now? Because I haven't really seen too many people talking about it in, like, industry side of things.
I think the word on the street is, you just came out at a terrible time. Yeah, like to launch this thing during Red Dead's time. Not that you can get away from it. Like, yeah. All the oxygen's been snatched up. The only person I know who's tinkered with it is Andrea. Mm. And she was just like, yeah, it's more Fallout. Yeah, it's Fallout 4, all right. And that's either a good or a bad thing, depending on who you talk to.
Yeah.
For me right now, it's an interesting thing. And I'm interested in that world and what it is. And, you know, I think the colors they're using are great. It's varied. I don't know anything about West Virginia, so it's cool to be exploring a new town or new state, I should say. Yeah, I'm fascinated. I want to spend a lot of time with it, but I'm still not. I want to spend a lot of time with it because I'm in love with it, or because I can't. I just can't figure out how I feel about it based on this way. And I'm playing it wrong. I'm not playing it the way I want to play a Fallout game.
How are the monsters?
I haven't seen that many. Like, okay. Mothman was awesome, right? Yeah. And then during the Best Buy stuff, I saw a bunch of videos and vignettes and GIFs. They all looked cool.
Okay.
But in terms of things I've actually fought, it's like robots, feral ghouls, who are actually in outfits this time. It seems more of. Rarely am I finding a naked feral ghoul. It's usually I've fought a fireman feral ghoul, a policeman.
Clothes haven't had time to rot away.
Exactly, yet. Right. It's a much different time period here. And that's this is such an early thing, but the Overseer's audio diaries, like, I not that I forgot that, but you know, she goes somewhere and has a conversation with somebody in these diaries, and it is like, oh right, like, it's not that long ago. Like, you said goodbye to people out here, and now you're coming back to talk to them in an interesting way.
Hmm. Yeah,
very cool.
Fallout lore.
Yeah, yeah.
There you go.
So yeah, excited.
Next game I want to talk about, Spider-Man DLC, The Heist.
And they say that a hero can save.
They do say that. So you sold me on this last week.
Hell yeah.
Last week on Gamescast, you gave your impressions of it and all that. Cool, Greg, coming in hot.
Oh my God. Double God. Red Bull.
Love it.
You were up early.
All the way. I was up early.
Can you beer me?
Okay, gotcha. Cool, Greg. Can you ice coffee me? Thank you, sir.
You sold me on it. I was going to wait for the three DLCs to all come out and then just kind of play through all of them. Or if they were getting whatever reviews, maybe not. You know, it was one of those things where I'm like, I want it to be good. I want it to be worth my time. I traditionally haven't been the biggest fan of single player DLC. It always kind of feels undercooked. It feels like it's too much of a side story that's not actually adding to the world that we fell in love with whatever the single player game is, presumably. Yeah. And everything you were saying, I was like, you know what? This sounds like it's worth my time now. And it absolutely was.
Rad.
Everything I just said about not liking single player DLC, this was not that. This felt like it could have been part of the full game, but it also felt different enough that I'm happy it was its own thing. I'm happy that it had focus on Black Cat, on building this new relationship that wasn't on top of a bunch of other stuff happening, right? And I loved so much. When I first played Spider-Man, I felt like it was like a season of a TV show, a good season of a Spider-Man TV show. And this totally felt like it's the beginning of a 3-episode arc, in a season that like would be that point where you're kind of getting away from the main plot to like see what else is going on and build the world. But because of how video games differ from TV, it allows it all to kind of feel bigger, I think. Like it totally expands the universe that they've built, the New York that they've built. And without getting into spoilers, I feel that they handled Black Cat better than I've seen her in almost any form of media for Spider-Man. And I can say the same thing about a lot of the characters that Insomniac kind of reimagined for their universe and how they all work together. And her backstory and the characters they introduce, it once again makes the universe feel like it's lived in and been going on for a long time. And things that happened 20 years ago are affecting what's happening now and are going to affect what's going to happen in the future. And it's like, it just makes me think about the sequel of the game and be like, wow, like they can go in so many different directions building up on all of this. And so much of the backstory isn't required, but it makes it so much better.
What I appreciate so much about it, and I touched on this, I think, a little bit last week, is the idea that they present Black Cat, and like you're saying, they present a world that's lived in and things have happened in. And when we meet Black Cat, it's not a wall of text explaining backstory. It's not a long conversation explaining backstory. It is a, hey, this is what's happening. And then you're left with the question of like, okay, where are we in a timeline? And then the next thing with, you know, Peter talking to MJ gives you an answer. Mm-hmm. And it's like, you've thought this through. This isn't some weird tacked on side story. Yeah. It is like, no, there is a web. No, here that we're actually going to talk about and we're going to, you know, address those things. And if you have a, that's a question, of course, I would think of. They're going to have, of course, you'd think of answer.
Yeah. No, totally. And I think that where it fits in the timeline is a very interesting place to be. And I feel like it's ballsy of them to be like, you know what? Fuck it. We're gonna do what people kind of want from this. But I almost feel like it was too good to be true. Where it's like they answer questions about where characters are at in their new lives based after the first game that I'm like, huh, didn't expect you to address that early. Like, this is cool. This is getting my gears turning of like, oh, where are we going with this? And I'm interested.
Well, single-player DLC on a AAA game has become, or at least is perceived as a tremendous risk now. Mm-hmm. I mean, there was a time that we sold DLC against games just so, oh, yeah, we can monetize this, put it in. We know a certain number of people are going to go out there and buy it. But now it's so expensive to even make these little slices that are tacked on that perhaps to get it through production, you almost have to have that level of storytelling. I mean, maybe this is a case where somebody sat down and said, if we're going to spend X million dollars adding to this, then we're just going to have to make sure the writing's top quality, that we take some risks with it, that we get enough buzz for people to talk about it while Red Dead's going on.
That it becomes a 1.5, right? Mm-hmm. It's a Spider-Man 1.5. Because totally. That is the thing is, in a non-spoilery fashion, like, based on what you're talking about, conversations you have in that game that make you go, oh, man, I didn't think you'd address this that early. I bet that that's not just thrown in there as like a cool wink. That's thrown in there because by episode 3, there's going to be a payoff to that in some way.
Absolutely. And it's like, and I can't remember a time where I've ended a game and been like, I need to know what's happening now and knowing I'm going to get it next month.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, that, this month.
And that's the thing with this episodic content for them is like, it's... Episode 1 was so strong that I really feel it makes it must play. Like, that's day one. Because now you also know what you're getting into, right? Mm-hmm. It's day one, set aside 4 hours that night, and you can 100% it probably. You get through the story for sure.
Yeah, I mean, I did. I 100%ed it in probably, like, a little less than four. Mm-hmm. And that's... I don't do that. I don't 100% games like that. And I was going through, and once I beat it, I'm like, I'm not that far from just getting everything. And it's fun. And I guess that's... I've talked about story, and that's definitely my favorite thing about the DLC. But the gameplay, I feel like they did. Insomniac knocked out of the park once again of making things fun. They iterated on a lot of the gameplay modes they had in the Spider-Man game, but made them better. The I keep forgetting her name. Speedball?
I think it's Speedball.
I think Speedball is a character. Her challenges are just a better version of the drone challenges in Spider-Man. And I like that because there was something there. But the drone things just weren't quite great, you know? And playing the Speedball stuff, I'm like, these are great. These are actually really fun. I feel like I want to replay them to get a better score. You know, like there was multiple times I did it. I'm like, oh, I got 2 out of 3 of the things. I'm like, I think I can get 3, though. I didn't need to, but I was like, I'm going to give it another shot and try.
See, what I did is, I don't think we talked about this last time around, is that I felt so lost for the first hour of Spider-Man in terms of the controls of like, oh my god, I just played Red Dead, I just played Assassins, like I'm 3 or 4 action adventure games away from Spider-Man already, so it's so hard to remember how to get back in the swing of things.
God, Greg.
I'm sorry, everybody.
It's good.
That, like, I didn't 100% the DLC, and I thought about coming back the next night, and I was like, you know what? I'm going to leave it. And then the Monday or the Sunday before the Tuesday release of the next thing, drop in, get great. That way I can run and go.
Yeah, you were saying that last time, and so it surprised me that I was like, fuck, I got to do this. And then I had such a good time with this game that I was like, I'm going back to the other one. I'm going back to the first one, and like maybe I am gonna try to platinum it.
Extra life.
I've never platinumed a game ever.
Thanks, Cool G.
I've never actually had a platinum. I've 100%ed games, but I've never platinumed a game. And I was at like 60% or something when I looked at it. And 5 hours later, I was like at 80%. And I'm like, all right, dude. I'm having so much fun. This is great going back and doing a lot of stuff. And damn, there's so much shit in Spider-Man that I didn't even know. Because of all, I didn't do all of the challenges and stuff. Just different characters and some things that happened. I mean, this is not a spoiler.
This is a spoiler for the main game?
It's a spoiler for the main game, which is like
a side story too?
Exactly. It's like, I didn't do that many Taskmaster stuff, so I didn't know he just fucking shows up out of nowhere and there's a boss fight.
Yeah.
Like, that's fucking cool.
Hell yeah.
You know? Like, there's so much in this game that feels worth doing, and it makes the side stuff not feel like side stuff. It makes it feel like juicy content that's worth playing. But it's not all good, and I feel like I do have some criticism of the game. First off, from just a not all the game modes hit. The bomb defusal stuff is simply not fun.
Where you're swinging around a web
control,
and everything?
The remote control drone.
The Spidey drone thing.
Where you're going through and you have to listen for the beeps and just the way that it controls. I'm just like, this isn't fun.
All
this
bomb defusal modes should be removed from all video games. Ninja Turtles taught us that.
They did.
We should never go
they
back.
Did. Damn. That damn level.
Yeah.
This, though, it's like every time I'm doing it, I'm like, I know what I'm doing. I'm not having fun doing it. Sure. And if I'm not, why? What's the point? This could have been a cutscene, you know?
That's one of the side missions, like, that reoccurs over and over again?
Yeah, it's also part of the main story, too.
That's my thing, is I did it, I did it once in the main story, and because I was trying to get through it for review. So I did it once in the main story, and I haven't done all the side stuff. So for me, it was like, it's clear, a weird, goofy thing, whatever.
It's clear they know it's bad, because there's a whole bunch of bomb defusal, bomb defusal is one of the, side missions that you have to do, a whole bunch of different ones. And not too many of them are the remote control car.
Ah.
Like, a lot of them are swinging around and, like...
He's a remote control spider.
Time stuff, and it goes back to the kind of, like... It uses the same gameplay as the Doc Ock, like...
Oh, okay.
Voltage.
Yeah. I like those a lot.
Yeah, those are fine. But the biggest problem I had with the DLC was the polish. This might have been the...
Go ahead. Sorry, no.
The least polished AAA game experience I've ever had.
Now, what I want to throw out there is I would have mentioned this if it happened to me. You came in and talked about this. None of this happened with my Spider-Man, so I'm not sure if they patched it between when I finished it and you played it or what.
From what I understand, as of recording this, the patch is still not out yet. They understand there is a problem.
No. I mean, I played it before you. Did they release some other patch that fucked everything up? Because I didn't see any of the problems you're about to go into.
Yeah,
and I feel like I misled people, but I didn't know the history about that.
Okay. But I do know there's a ton of people having the same problems as
sure.
me. Playing through the game, and again, I played about 4 hours of it.
Yeah.
Every single loading screen where it would show the city, and which in the original game, that signifies it's changing time, like you go from day to night or whatever, every single time messed up. So if I was supposed to be going to night, it would just go to day. The characters would be talking about it being night and like making references to night.
Sure, it's dark today. Night.
Okay. Pretty much. But it's daytime. I'm like, this seems wrong. Other loading times, it would be the loading screen, but the dialogue, like the cutscene, would already start. But I'm just still looking at the loading screen, and I just hear people talking.
So when you talk about polish, you're talking just lots and lots of technical glitches.
So many glitches. So many bugs.
Did they break things?
So there was multiple times where it was just, it would come back from the loading screen, black screen.
Ooh.
And I'm like, this isn't good. But then I'd move and jump, and I hear Spider-Man doing stuff. I'm like, so the game's still going. I hit the PlayStation button. It came out. I saw the menu. I'm like, it's not the PlayStation.
Yeah.
Like, it's the game. So that happened to me maybe three times where I had to straight up quit out. And it was never a time that I had to restart the PlayStation. It was always just the application that was causing problems. And the game was so fun. And there was the story was so great that I was like, whatever. Like, this is
sure,
fine.
But that's unacceptable.
No. But it hit a point that I'm like,
really?
What? So I Googled it. I'm like, oh shit, people are having problems. They say they're going to patch it.
Honestly, but a little surprised I got through CERT with that.
Me too. I was very let down by it, where I was just like, this is unacceptable for a game at this level.
I wonder, they didn't say anything about the patch in turn. Did anybody in their thread start putting together what was the common thing between all of you?
Mm-mm.
Because I played it on my PlayStation 4 Pro like you did. I never had any of those problems, which is weird.
It was very weird, and it was just like so many different issues, and it all came back to the loading screen. Like every single time, like every time it loaded, I'm like, there's gonna be something, and there was so many different variations of just weird shit.
Wow.
A friend of the show, Graham Reed, I saw he was posting things too of like cars just like flying in weird ways. And like,
you're making me want to play this more, not less.
It's very weird. It's very weird.
Just
but man,
janky stuff like that. Weird.
That all sucks. And they have said they're putting out a patch. So hopefully that gets figured out soon if it hasn't already. But it is really disappointing to me that I had that experience, especially because I played it late. Like, granted, I guess I played it still the week it came out.
But not day of or anything.
Yeah.
What's crazy for me is that you had all those kind of technical challenges and problems, but still came away being like, I love it. It's great.
And so that was
that
the thing.
That speaks,
is,
I think, how good it is.
When I beat it, I immediately was like, I want to tweet about this and put my opinion out there. I only talked about the story. Mm-hmm. I was like, I'm not trying to fucking like be negative and like just rail this down without the context of a podcast.
Yeah.
So it's like, I was like, I'm good on GamesCast. Explain my
issues. GamesCast is.
So that's going to
context.
That is going to create some strain for the developer potentially. I mean, they've already announced a release schedule here for the month. Mm-hmm. If they have to put resources into patching that, that could affect their ability to finish and polish what they want to release next. Do you think there's a possibility we'll see a delay to December?
I don't know. I mean, I'm a little surprised we haven't heard details about episode 2 yet, but you know, I feel like they know what they're doing in terms of release schedule and marketing and all that. And yeah.
Well, I think you can't give details about episode 2 without giving some kind of hint as to what happened in episode 1.
Especially because it sounds like 2 and 3 aren't going to be what we thought they were. Yeah. Where it's like, this is very much one continued story.
Right, exactly. And so I think with the buzz this one has outside of the problems, you get closer. And you can do it a week out of like, we're giving you a trailer or just a, hey, new key art or something to that effect.
Makes sense.
I recommend playing it, though, Jared. It's real good, and the story was awesome.
I think that this is a must play for me.
In 2019.
I really ought to try to get to it before Game of the Year stuff. I got this other big old game I got to finish and get a little more knocked out on before I do that. But it's going to be hard for me to play as many games as I normally do, really, through the end of the year with the online stuff coming to Red Dead and all that. Nonetheless, I don't want to miss great games and great storytelling in single player. And that sounds like the most Jared DLC possible.
So yeah.
I'm totally in.
But the reason you haven't been playing it is you've been playing another game.
Yeah, I have been playing another game. That game is called Red Dead Redemption
2. Let's get an update, Jared. Where are you at?
It's a small independent game produced by a understaffed studio. it's called No Man's Sky. And it's I am significantly past where I was before and still nowhere near the end. Because
which chapter are you?
The way I'm approaching the... Oh, Lord, I don't remember.
Okay. Not trying to pin you.
No, it's okay. No, the way I'm approaching the game, as I've told people, is just I'm going to play it like I'd play it as opposed to rush to the end. That means an enormous amount of wondering and getting involved in the 70 or 80 systems. At this point, there are still collectibles I don't know about. They're, it's like, oh, look, dinosaur bones. Oh, look, dream catchers. Oh, look, fish. Oh, look. And I'm like a dog chasing a car, but in the middle of the Indy 500. So I'm just running around from car to car to car to car, place to place. I'm testing the limits of the game, trying to break things. I'm fooling around with the myriad cheats that are available. And I'm going back to the story, which I can say continues to get better. The story, I think, starts very strong, but grows more compelling as you continue through it. They are fattening you up for the kill in those early parts of the game. I can say that. I'm getting close. You got to be careful about saying things like this, but I'm getting close to the point where I'm ready to say that this is the best Rockstar game I've ever played. It's extraordinary.
What would have been number one?
Well, my favorite Rockstar game before this was GTA Chinatown Wars on the DS.
Fuck yes, it was. Good call.
Love that game. Absolutely love that game. A really great systems-driven game. The story was fine, but the systems were actually
selling the
incredible.
Drugs, buy the drugs in part of town, drive back, sell them.
I didn't know you were a fan of this.
I reviewed it on PSP.
Yeah, it had the Drug Wars minigame. It had all of Liberty City crammed into a DS and silky smooth. That had that great system where you'd wrecked cop cars to get away, get your stars to disappear because that hiding wouldn't have worked on the DS.
Yeah.
Anyway, I love Chinatown Wars. Obviously, GTA 5 is probably the technical masterpiece and the biggest sandbox. I'm a big fan of Bully. I think Bully was a really remarkable game.
State of Emergency.
Damn, you beat me to it.
There we go. I think Table Tennis is rad. I'm not making fun of that. I actually really like Table Tennis.
I'm not surprised.
But yeah, it's not. But I think this one, the storytelling is just better. The writing's better. And that's been a lot of it. The combination of the beauty, the brave and slow and deliberate pacing, which is for me exactly what I wanted. And the fact that this is the first Rockstar game I played in a long time, that even though you're playing a bad man, this game doesn't feel mean. I was surprised by that. When you see the meanness of people, it starts hitting you harder and harder, but it doesn't feel nonchalant about that cruelty.
Avril Lavigne.
Was she so mean to that man?
I don't get it.
To jump off, this is something I meant to bring up in my Fallout 76 thing, but didn't. Yeah. This is a good comparison to why with Fallout, I'm like, I don't know what I feel about this, is that Monster Hunter and Red Dead and Assassins, again, felt like leaps in different steps. And like, man, they've taken what this game was and refined it, elevated it, whatever you want to. They've taken a risk. Like, we were talking about art, right? And like, even though Red Dead 2 didn't click with me, I'm glad they did it. And I'm glad it's clicking with so many people. That's the thing with Fallout, that it is like, your new stuff is so new, I need to wrap my head around it. And I'm not even sure if that's going to make the game feel different than what Fallout usually is. That's what I'm driving at.
Yeah, I think it's probably going to be many hours in before you know if the base building systemic cooperative stuff is going to pull you. The first time you launch a nuke at somebody is probably going to change whether or not you enjoy the game. But yeah, Tim, in summary, I think it's a must play. I think it is obviously for me in game of the year contention, to say the least. I think it could turn out to be alongside a couple of other games, generation defining. I don't think we go back from this one. And I think that it's proved something already. I mean, you've seen the sales figures, right, that are already out. It's the thing's almost certainly past 10 million copies sold already, probably far beyond. It is the biggest entertainment sales weekend in history.
Crazy.
And that means that you can take risks at a AAA level and succeed. And that's a very good lesson for this industry to learn.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm real happy about that.
Yeah, man.
Big Kev Dog, you've been playing a ton of Red Dead Redemption, and I feel like you are up one day about it, down one day about it, all over. Where are we at with Red Dead?
It's real tricky. I enjoy the storyline a lot.
Yeah.
I really do. But I also have a problem with just how long everything takes to get to. I just feel like the overall, like, playing the game can be really frustrating and not as fun as I want it to be. So, like, I'll do a mission and it leaves you somewhere and then you have to ride back. And
what do you got against horses, Kevin?
They're dumb horses. I feel like in nature, horses will see a tree and be like, I'm not going to hit that. But in the game, if you're, like, trying to shoot someone, the horse is not, like, the horse is just going in the direction you're going, so it smashes into trees.
If you're going at a full gallop on a panicking horse, it will run into a tree. I mean, that's kind of what happens.
Maybe.
How people get killed
but
by horses.
Neither of us know for sure, is all I'm saying.
It's a great point.
Yeah?
Great point.
Yeah? But yeah, the story is phenomenal. It really does have a story that, like, I find super captivating. The moving around, it just, the acting is exceptional, but am I going to keep playing? I don't know. I put probably a good 30 hours into it so far, and I want to keep opening the map because I am enjoying it, but it is very much back and forth whether I love it or hate it. So
you described it on Games Daily the other day as a scab you can't stop picking.
I don't think you said this on Gamescast. You're like, it's like, yeah, you're figuring
it out.
It's
a callus next to your thumb where you just got to keep scratching at it. And it's like, it doesn't feel good, but I also don't want to stop because it's there, you know?
Yeah.
So,
but when you add on everything you just said about the story, I feel like that changes it. It's not just a callus. There's like, you're getting something out of it.
That's true. Yeah. But really quick, it is very, the pacing is weird because everything takes so long to get to. And I don't know how the mechanics work 100% or not. Because I had a thing where there were like two missions, and I chose to do one, and they were both like flashing yellow, and then the second mission kind of moved forward without me. And I met up with someone, and they were like, oh, well, we just did that, so just do the next thing, meet me up in this place. And it's all right, well, I mean, it's cool, but I wanted to do it.
The world does not center on you in this game, though.
But it does. It does.
Someone else is the main character, the main playable character.
I'm the main character.
No.
It's me.
Dutch is clearly the main character.
No, I mean, you're right about the fact that if you don't like riding your horse from place to place and encountering things along the way, you're probably not going to like Red Dead 2, because that is they tripled down on that. That's why they built all the horse stuff in. That's why the ridiculous levels of horse rendering and horse tailoring and horse balls. Main maintenance exist.
My biggest issue with it is like the controls are also so challenging that I often find even after 30 hours I'm putting in the wrong commands, and like I'll pull my gun out when I'm trying to talk to someone and it's like, oh no, now I've started something I didn't want to.
How are you have to hit L1 to pull your gun out?
Yeah, I know, but isn't L2 to talk? Like the talking options?
Yeah.
Those buttons right next to him, I don't know if you know this, I have these fat old fingers, they get everywhere.
Get good, Kevin. You know, I was talking with Kat Bailey the other night doing Red Dead, and she was talking about the fact that there is kind of a, like, that this game could almost be Barbie Horse Simulator. Like, the degree of attention it gives to that whole horse thing.
Oh, you have to sit there and you have to comb it.
But not just that, if you take it to the stable, you can trim it and, like, do braid its mane like its hair,
and outfit it
and deck it out. And buy stirrups, whatever else you do. Kevin and I were talking about this earlier. Buy stirrups. Good Lord, do that as quickly as possible. But they were like, yeah, you're going to, I mean, you go to your status screen and it's you and your horse, like, and the horse is the bigger part of the display than you. They really want you to commit to that part of it. So if you hate horses, you're not going to like this game.
Don't hate horses, make that clear.
Yeah, I do.
You love Phobos?
I love Phobos so much.
I can understand people not liking Red Dead 2. I just don't want to know them or be near them.
I get that. Jared, you're also playing a different, do you have something else to say about Red Dead, Craig?
No.
Okay. You've also been playing Castlevania Requiem.
I have been playing Castlevania Requiem.
What a fun word, Requiem.
Requiem for a dream.
Requiem for a vampire. What's that?
Don't worry about it.
I missed it there. No, and I was Greg was playing 76 in the back room a little while ago. So Tim and I have never talked Castlevania before, and I was like, Tim, are you into Castlevania? And Tim says,
yeah, I mean, I'm into Castlevania. I've played a lot of many of them, and I am a big fan. Symphony of Night is the one, though. It's like, you know, the NES ones were always way too hard for me. The Super Nintendo one never clicked for me. It felt like the pixels were too big. What, Greg?
I love him to death, but Kevin is among the worst producers in the history of the world. We get it. The conversation starts, and you hear him pour the twang into the bag of Cheetos, shake the Cheetos, and then start eating the Cheetos.
Salacious crumb over there. It's beautiful.
But yeah, I was telling you earlier that like the Castlevania series, especially in its Metroidvania kind of iterations, which by the way, actually, I guess I've played a lot of Castlevania games when you look at the GBA ones as well. I just, for some reason, don't think of those.
So yeah, you have played a lot
But the one that I have never played is Rondo of Blood. And I remember growing up reading Electronic Gaming Monthly and seeing like top games of all time lists and always reading about Rondo of Blood. And the thing that was most interesting to me was it wasn't in America and you couldn't play it. I was always like, oh, that sucks. And now it's been released in a couple different ways. Castlevania Chronicles.
It was released on the PSP. It was available on Wii Virtual Console. It's come out a couple of times now.
Yeah. But I never played it. And then now that Richter's in Smash, it's like, it's his time to shine.
Yeah. And so here he is in Requiem. So you've got two games here, Symphony of the Night and Requiem. Let's talk about each of them. Let's start with Symphony of the Night and Rondo. Let's start with Symphony. Greg,
great
this,
game.
You a Symphony guy?
I am in the way that I understand it's great. I've played through it and beaten it before, and I enjoy it. Like, it's not, I'm not like, I have it downloaded. And I'm like, when's the last time I played this? And I was trying to figure this out. I want to say PS1 Classic on PSP.
Okay.
You know,
that wasn't too long ago, though.
That feels like a lifetime. If I'm at IGN at the old desk, at Juan Castro's old desk, I feel like that was forever ago. It's one of those games that I want to say I forced myself through, but it was like, I know this is an important game. Played through, and it was like, yeah, okay, I get it. I get it.
And you played the Inverted Castle? I mean, you played
it all. Started, never did it.
Oh, God.
It's one of those things.
That's the best part of the game. Yeah. Okay, wow.
Yeah.
That's too bad.
But it's what I liked about Symphony of the Night was it didn't correct, right? It was more in vain with the kind of game I'd want to play. Whereas like an NES Castlevania, I always felt so heavy, right? And I felt like my reach was so short.
Yeah.
Whereas Symphony of the Night always, when you play it, feels more action-oriented, right?
It's a power fantasy. There's so much you can do. And they do that brilliant thing at the beginning. They do two brilliant things at the beginning. First, they start... Symphony begins with the last scene of Rondo.
Yeah.
Like, with you controlling the last battle of Rondo.
Yeah. Okay, that's right.
Yeah, it's the Dracula
I didn't realize that was the Rondo fight.
That's the Rondo fight. And they make you more powerful so that you win. Like, they make sure you win. Maria runs in and heals
fucking
you and
cool.
all that.
Okay.
But that's the last scene of Rondo that you're playing at the beginning of Symphony.
It's rad.
It's really cool. And then you're a la carte and you have every weapon and every ability and you kill everything and then they take all your stuff away. But you get that
classic
power.
Move.
Yeah, classic move. But even then, like, there's so many systems going on, like Red Dead 2 levels of systems are going on in Symphony. You have magic spells you can cast from the very first of the game, but they're all secret button combinations. If you happen to know them or look them up on the internet or pay the guy in the castle to teach them to you, you can use them from the very first scene to make the game easier. And they're all like Street Fighter moves. They'll let you do homing missiles and teleports and all kinds of weird stuff or drink blood from people. And then there's things like what you do in that first fight in Rondo will grant you RPG stats for Alucard in the later part of the game, like depending on how fast you win or how many hits you take, or there's all this ridiculous depth going on, or using certain items in conjunction, stuff you will never, ever, ever find on your own. It's just there because it's awesome and it gives it a lot of replayability. Well, hey, how do rods work? Why do all these weapons suck? Oh, because when you combine them with another weapon, suddenly they're awesome if you know the secret button combination. And I love that part of it, but also even if you leave all that aside, it's still the best Metroidvania game. It just is. It's extraordinary. It's probably, I think it's my second favorite game of all time after Pirates.
Wow.
I love Symphony. And then Rondo, which you said you haven't played. Mm-mm. Greg, have you ever played Rondo?
I never played Rondo.
Okay.
Because again, I was late adopter to this. And as we're talking about it, I'm like, did I beat it on PSP? Doesn't matter. It's okay, regardless of the story, but I remember Rope making me play it.
Okay, so Rondo is from a different era. Rondo is it was on what we know as the TurboGrafx-16. Which in Japan was a very popular console. Mm-hmm. It actually did huge there, really, really well.
Really? TurboGrafx did well there?
Oh, it blew the Genesis out of the water in Japan. It was a legitimate contender with the NES in Japan for a while.
I did not know that.
Yeah, it came out much earlier there than it did here. Like it was out in like 87 there.
Jesus.
Yeah, so they got it way ahead. They had CD-ROM games in 88 in Japan.
Wow.
Yeah, so they were way ahead of us.
As they often are.
Yeah, and they got way more games over there, so including this one. And a lot of those games are really good that never came over. Import chauvinism is a thing where it was over in Japan, so it must be better. We read about it in the magazines, especially when we were kids when you didn't get a lot of games. But this one is, in fact, a standout Castlevania. It's not like Symphony where it's a Metroidvania. It's not about exploring, but it does have multiple paths through every level and huge parts of the games that you won't see on your first playthrough because you have to decide which ways to go and who to fight and all that. Also, it has multiple characters. So if you play as Maria, she's effectively easy mode, but you have to rescue her during the game to unlock her and make that possible. Mm. Yeah, which is also very cool. And then you play with her and she controls entirely differently. Richter's all stiff and slow. Like you were talking about, Greg, in the old game. That was you, right?
Yeah, 100%. Okay. The thing that turned me off to games like Mega Man and Castlevania growing up.
Yeah, he is stiff and slow. He just is. Maria is fast and very much like Alucard and powerful. So if you don't like playing as Richter, try it as Maria. You may have a lot more fun there. Because it is, at the beginning of the game, you'll be like, this is pretty and it looks kind of good for a 16-bit game, but I don't get it. Give it to about the second stage.
Okay.
And when the back of the level behind you bursts and suddenly this giant rhino monster chasing you and destroying the level behind you and this beautiful, wonderful set piece and you're running trying to hold on to a key so you can unlock a character without being killed by the seven things. It's great.
Mm-hmm.
It really is. I'm talking a lot here.
How is the port, though? How is the PS4 version?
It's okay. It is... Okay, so... Symphony's based on a later port, which means it doesn't have the really awful voice acting that
which takes away
does
from the magic.
Actually take a little away from Symphony. And I'm not trying to be nostalgic. I mean, really, what the problem is, what they replaced it with isn't all that good. It's just unnotable and bad, as opposed to heinously wonderfully bad.
Yeah.
So you missed that. And then the Rondo port is fine. They use English voice acting they use English subs and then a little. Like when the Grim Reaper speaks, he's not talking in Japanese like I'm used to, and I think I can switch that, so I'm happy about that, and that ought to fix things. But these are two of the best platformers of their generation.
What's the story with how this came about and why? Is it coming to Switch? Is it going anywhere else? Or is it just PlayStation?
Just PS4.
Yeah. As far as they've announced?
Okay. It came out the same time as the Castlevania TV series season 2 did. There's the Castle, you know.
Season 3.
Konami's looking for a quick buck. It's not hard to do one of these. Obviously, we had Koji Igarashi's new game was originally scheduled to come out around this time. Now it's being delayed till next year, but this may have been put in the works when they thought that Bloodstained was coming out earlier. Who knows? These games are both exceptional. One is a linear, straightforward, old-school platformer that's heinously difficult and absolutely beautiful, and the other is actually a relatively easy ridiculously huge and well done exploratory game.
Mm. Which one do you think Greg Miller likes?
Symphony. Symphony is a must play. Symphony is one of the best video games in the history of the universe. For all the great games we remember on PlayStation, from Metal Gear to Klonoa to Final Fantasy Tactics, I'll take Symphony over all of them.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Wow. So today, this is the topic of the show time. Today, as of recording, was the final Super Smash Bros. Ultimate Direct.
Right.
Pre-DLC.
Right.
It announced DLC. It announced a lot of stuff.
It crushed you, though.
40 minutes. The Direct did crush me.
Why?
Crushed my soul. Crushed my spirit.
I'll tell you what I said on Games Daily today.
Yeah.
Came into work today. You guys were already gone back home sleeping.
Yeah.
So I came in. Well, first off, I woke up, saw Chad got announced. I was like, awesome. Congratulations, yeah. Chad. Glad to see you in the game. That's a piranha plant if you're a new fan. Came into work, though. Sat down with my cup of coffee, opened up my email. There was the Nintendo press release. Here's everything you got announced. And I just look at 95 bullet points for things that got announced in this. And I'm reading it, sipping. I'm like, man, sounds like great. They announced a lot of stuff here. A lot of cool content. I'm sure Tim's super excited. And then I click over and I see the thumbnail and the subhead is just, oh no. And I start the video and I jump to the very end. And you're sitting there in silence. Kevin cuts to your one. You look at it and you're just like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
Seriously, though.
Yeah, and like,
what did you want? They gave you all this cool stuff.
There's so much stuff. First off, the reaction in that video, at the end of that video, is so genuine and real, where I was at a loss for words of like, what the fuck we just saw. Take a step back from that. I almost called you this morning before I went home to be like, hey, I have some things that I want you to explain on Games Daily.
Thank you.
To kind of not. You know, to at least give some context and understanding.
We had your concierge or whatever the hell Nick always says, Kevin Coella, who explained your points.
Good. Okay. And I appreciate that. Because I do think it's very important to get to the bottom of why I was disappointed. Because I don't think it's for the reasons that some people are saying, if you didn't actually watch it and if you don't actually know.
Take a breath real quick. Kevin, what is it? Consigliere from Godfather?
Yeah.
I'll never be able to say that. Consigliere.
Are you a wartime consigliere? I thought it was consigliere.
No.
Consigliere? I think it's consigliere.
I'll derail this whole fucking show.
I think it's consigliere.
Wartime consigliere.
Wartime, of course.
You calling someone?
Yeah, I'm calling Nick. We got to get to the bottom of this. I'm sorry. I understand you want to do this, but like, this isn't how he pronounces it. This is definitely not how Nick pronounces it. How do you say it?
Consigliere.
Consigliere?
Concierge.
There's a G in there.
Nick nails it because he's Italian, so we can trust him.
Is it like the hotel guy?
No, that's concierge.
I know that one.
We're talking about in The Godfather.
Wonder if Nick's going to pick up.
He's not going to. He's working out.
This is compelling television right here.
Hey, you know what? Guess what? If they wanted compelling television, they'd watch Judge Judy. Instead, they're here watching us. Some kid's just driving his bus right now. He doesn't care.
You've reached Nick Scarpino. I'm not available right now. Please leave me a message and I'll get back to you as soon as possible. Thanks.
All right, play it. Play it, Kevin.
Hold on.
Please record your message. Consigliere. When you've finished recording, you may hang up or press 1 for more options.
Nick, it's Greg. We're having an argument over how to say consigliere, so please call us back and tell us how to say it. Bye.
Gaston Legere.
Here, listen.
Hit it, Kev.
I mean, sometimes this is...
Hit it, Kev!
Consigliere.
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 No, not consigliere, consigliere.
Consigliere.
In different parts of Italy, you would pronounce
consigliere.
The G.
Yeah, play it again.
One more time.
Consigliere.
See?
Cool. I don't have a horse in the race. I just wanted to make sure I
know, but I just like being right. I want to be right.
Jared Petty, right about everything. Except
not true. Untrue. Generally wrong. Smash Brothers.
Francis G33 writes in and says, hey guys, my question is a response to Tim's Smash Brothers reaction video. I get he's super excited for the game, but him being so disappointed after this direct comes off as a little ungrateful. I get that there was characters he wanted that didn't get revealed, but what was the disappointment... But was the disappointment not down to the fans themselves hyping it up to levels beyond expectations?
Great question.
I feel like dedicating sections on Games Daily to hyping up stuff like this is the reason it was so disappointing. Great jump off point, Mr. Francis G33. I am absolutely not for a second disappointed in the roster or the characters announced. Do I wish that the Grinch thing was real and that those 7 characters in this game? Absolutely. It would just make it even better. I would love to have Banjo. I would love to have Mach Rider. I'd love to have Geno. All of that is true. I was always 50-50 on the Grinch stuff. There was so much evidence that backed it up that it looked absolutely real. It was a very well thought out fake. Very well done.
Has anyone claimed credit now?
No, not yet. Okay. Not yet. And I'm interested in
that. When are we going to fake something? We got to fake something one day.
I tried to. You said, it's too far.
You tried to fake it in a way that you had us like we're actually contacting IGN and GameSpot. Faking something on a reset air is different.
We would have killed the game without shit.
Yeah, we would have killed our careers. Nobody would ever work with us again.
Our careers.
So good, though.
You chose wisely.
I'm working with IGN tomorrow.
We chose wisely for sure. It was really funny. But the thing with this is like, every time we've done this stuff on Games Daily, when we talk about stuff, I always give the disclaimer that these are rumors, and I give the evidence there. And I give there's one side of it that is just the pure hype side, and then there's the other side that here's the facts, here's what we're looking at. Like, it's up to you whether or not you think that it's real or it's not. And I never was leaning thinking the Grinch thing was real. I was always like, it could be. Yeah. And like, there's not any evidence saying it's not, right? This morning when we started the direct and we saw Incineroar, it's like, or when we saw Ken and it wasn't the same picture as him in the mural, it's like, okay, cool. Grinch is fake. Like, we get it.
There we go.
Let's move on. It is disappointing. But again, it's only disappointing because that would have been the greatest thing of all fucking time. You know? But I'm like, great, Incineroar. Do I care for another Pokemon in the game? Not necessarily. Ken, great. That's really cool. I like playing as Ryu. That's fine. This game has so many characters. There's so much going on that we already know from a content perspective that I'm like, I'm sold.
Happy about
Chad? I'm not disappointed at all. A piranha plant, honestly, in the old days, I'd be like, that seems like a waste of a space. We live in an era with Smash Bros. Now that waste of space characters is not a thing, man.
Yeah.
This game could end up having 100 characters at the end of the day. Like,
for the record, as somebody who's mained Link Blue Tunic since N64 Smash Bros., I really want to get good with Chad. Chad will be my secondary right now.
There you go. It's a weird call for sure, but like, dude, that's what makes Smash special. Is like, it gives you the guys that you expect, but then it also gives you Game & Watch and Rob and Duck Hunt Dog and Wii Fit Trainer. Like, cool.
Those are the characters I gravitate toward.
It's just weird shit. Yeah. Cool, great. I'm not disappointed at all with the roster. What I'm disappointed with is so much that was shown in the direct. Now, there's two levels to this that I was mad about. One is they spent 40 minutes to not tell us much. It was a lot of bullet points, but the way that they went about it was so classic Nintendo in the bad way, not in the good way. Nintendo has proven that they can be fucking hype as hell. When we got the Smash Brothers Wii U Final Direct, there was the 50 Fact Extravaganza. They got the announcer from the game to do VO for it and announce every single thing, and it had pacing and it built.
Yeah. To jump on the train real second, and I'll get off and let you keep going. I want it pointed out that this was me based on reading it, then seeing your reaction. I did not watch the 40-minute presentation. I'm off the train.
It was a very poor presentation. It felt
very poor.
Someone in the chat was saying, or maybe it was the comments, was saying this felt like a Wii U era Nintendo.
I saw you respond to that.
I get the vibe of like, do you remember the really bad early Octopath Traveler reveals?
Yeah,
where they would just talk about some point of minutia for 10 minutes or what felt like 10 minutes.
That's what happened here, and it was 10 minutes. It was 10 minutes of them going through the help menu.
Them taking.
If you need help, you can go there and click it. If you want to change the screen brightness, you can do that. If you, I'm like, you don't need to tell us everything.
And you can change the screen brightness on the Switch itself and your TV separately, and it remembers.
Taking a lot of time to make a good game look worse,
And that is the problem with this. And now here's the thing. Those type of things don't actually matter in the grand scheme of it. You guys didn't watch the direct. You're not going to watch the direct. I did. I watched it. I have the complaints about this stuff. You just saw the PR release or read the IGN article or heard people talk about it, you being a general you.
Sure. So the general you all went no dry bones, no sale.
No sale. But like, I feel like there was a problem there where it's like, okay, so who are you speaking to with all this stuff then? And again, it's Nintendo. It's a very Japanese company. Like, they do things in a very Japanese way, and I feel like this direct was that, which I think is quirky and fun when it's surrounded by, like, they nailed it, which they've done the last couple Smash directs,
Reggie puppets,
but when it's surrounded by, like, oh, okay, cool, it's more characters and this is fantastic, but let's go into every single story mode or every single player mode, and they all sound very disappointing. And this is based off the history of the Smash franchise, of the story modes that they've had, which some of them have had a lot of issues. Some of them have had a few issues. Some of them are just atrocious, like the Wii U versions with the Smash Tour. The Spirits mode that they've been hyping up and talking about in the last couple. There we go, Smash. In the last direct, it's like there's been so much talk about what that could be, and for it to end up being, hey, we're going to take event mode, one of the best single player modes from every previous Smash game, and add it with all the dumb RPG sticker elements that made Subspace Emissary like barely tolerable in a lot of parts, and when Smash Tour and Smash World, all the stuff that like we didn't like from these other games, and we're going to put it there. Oh, and event, there is no more event mode. That ain't happening. That's not okay. Oh, hey, trophies, the things that like were essentially achievements.
And, yeah, I remember trophies.
Yeah, we don't have those either. We're replacing with other collectibles, and a lot of people are like, what's the deal? Like, you're just changing one collectible for another. And this one's better because it actually has gameplay changes and stuff. We don't want the gameplay changes.
Yeah.
We want to play Smash.
You don't want to play a UFO claw machine to see what kind of rarity that you can. Yeah, I know.
No, we don't want that.
My question, Greg Miller, kindoffunny.com. We talked about this in the morning show. No one corrected us, so I don't. Or Kind of Funny Games Daily. No one corrected us, so I assume we're right. To unlock all the characters and worlds and shit like that in Smash, do we have to play Spirit Mode and all that weird stuff?
In previous iterations, there's always been three ways to get the characters. Essentially, not always, but most of the time, you either play through the story mode and you get them all. You either play a certain amount of matches and then unlock everybody, or every character has a weird specific thing of like to get Marth, play as, or to get Ike, play as Marth three times, or like things like that, and they just unlock. But I just feel like a lot of the stuff they showed here, I'm somebody that loves Smash Brothers obviously so much, and I care about the single player content, and I like to 100% these games. What they're showing me, I'm like, I don't want to do it. I don't want to play that. Like, that doesn't look fun.
Sure.
And it's kind of just like focusing your core single player content on stuff that's not the actual gameplay.
From the weird corner of Nintendo that brought you Mario Tennis single player, Spirit Mode.
Well, that's not Spirit Mode. That's what the story mode looks like, the adventure mode.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
And the adventure mode, honestly, a lot of it looks pretty dope. Like I love how Kingdom Hearts they're going with it. I love the anime theme song. I love like just the CG stuff. All of that's great. But then when they showed it, it's like, why is the world map? Why does it look like it was made in like someone pretty talented in Microsoft Paint? Like, why is there just this 2D thing that characters are moving around? And like, it seems super gimmicky. And I'm going to read someone else's question.
This is what watching a stroke happen in front of your eyes.
It's a painful day.
It is. Yeah. Shredberg writes in and says, I was watching a reaction to the Smash reveal, and I understand some of the criticism behind it, but something rubbed me the wrong way. Can we stop saying nobody wants this to content that only the reactor didn't want? Personally, I think Spirits looks like a neat type of event mode. World of Light looks fantastic, and I'm stoked for Incineroar. It's one of the more worrying trends I'm seeing, as it shows a lack of understanding of the entire group's people's thoughts, and instead assumes a small subsection of a fan base speaks for us all. That is all very fair. It is obviously an exaggeration when I'm saying nobody wants this. And to your credit, Shredberg, I shouldn't say things like that. I should be better about articulating exactly what I'm trying to say.
I really thought your response to Shredberg was going to be, nobody wants to hear you right now.
No, not him.
But on the other hand,
fuck you, Shredberg.
No, he raises valid
points. My argument is, who wants this? Like, really, like, who is this for? Because I know, like, I am a hardcore Smash player, and I love the single player of Smash, and I've done all this stuff before. And you asked me in the pre-show, I forgot exactly what you asked me, but it's like, people have been bringing it up, like, you don't know, you haven't played it yet. I have, though.
Well, I didn't say that. I didn't say that.
No, but you asked another question that, like, that implied that, like, maybe it's going to be fine, or, like, will I eat crow if it turns out being good?
Yeah, you love that thing.
Yeah. The thing is, it won't. The elements that we're seeing that they're doubling down on, I already know I don't like.
Now that I'm hearing you talk about it, I'm like, oh, you have very specific thoughts based on things that have happened before. Okay, I see what's happening.
It's like in some
Greg Miller reads the bullet point, he's like, and I'm like, I might want to do that. I like collecting things and leveling them up. Yeah. Like, you know what I mean?
It's like Subspace Emissary was the adventure mode in Smash Brothers Brawl. It was the story mode. It was the thing that you go through. It lasted about, I don't know, 10 hours or something. A bunch of amazing cinematics to make
I remember that people came together and met for the first time and stuff like
to make a weird ass story that was just fun. It was goofy.
Bound
was
together by mediocre platforming.
Totally. And that's the thing, mediocre platforming that didn't feature any of the iconic locales or enemies of this storied company, right? And on top of that, they added stickers, where you collected trophies like Melee, but then you also collected stickers that gave you like RPG-esque upgrades, where it's like, collect this sticker and then use it, then you get +2 to electric defense. You get another one, your smash attack goes up a little bit, or your HP, like your knockback changes. So you're changing how the character plays as you go through this thing. And it wasn't fun. It's weird and gimmicky. It's like when we play Smash Bros. And you go into the menu and change it to lightning mode or giant mode or whatever. It's like, cool, this is a fun novelty thing. But like, you're telling me this is how you want us to play the main campaign of this game? Like, that's the whole point? It's bizarre. And it led to like, all right, by the end of the game, your character doesn't control like your character.
Mm-hmm. You get something from the design that made it too far down the line.
Yeah. And it's just like, for this game to be so well thought out and so much energy and love and care and detail being put into so many animations and so many things. And then to all of this, I look at it, I'm just like, this is just, it's a waste of creativity. It's a waste of development time. And at the end of the day, it's going to be a disservice to the game because this stuff is going to make the review score go down. There is no chance.
When you brought this argument up earlier, that's when I kind of understood more where you're coming from. Of like, yeah, they've taken a game that's great, has all this shit, is amazing, and then they're giving it a mediocre story mode, a mediocre similar to Mario Tennis, where it was like, oh, wow, this. I really like the gameplay moment to moment, but I hate the story mode.
And that's scary because it's just like, you know, a very valid piece of feedback is if you don't like it, don't play it. Cool, I totally get that. But it's like, I want 100% this game, and so much of it is so cared for. And then there's this stuff that, like, I'm telling you right now, like, I'm seeing the future. People are going to be writing the reviews of this and being like, yeah, I mean, the game obviously is amazing. This stuff, though, it's like, it was unnecessary and convoluted and complicated as all hell.
You ever watch the director's cut of Aliens?
I didn't.
You ever watch the director's cut of Aliens?
No.
You watched Aliens, right?
Yes.
Yeah, okay, one of the greatest action movies of all time. The director's cut adds several minutes to Aliens and makes it a much worse movie.
Mm-hmm.
You recognize the sequences. You understand why somebody thought they might be a good idea. And you totally understand why they were cut out. Because their addition to the product overall makes it a less good product.
Yeah.
That's what it sounds like you've got here.
It's an opposite of a Batman v Superman situation.
Well, we're
they added 30 minutes. And it was fucking way better. And everybody's like, you know what? This movie should have had an Oscar. And I agree.
Everybody said that. Yep.
Yeah, that's what we all wanted.
Looking back at the other Smash Brothers, I obviously have so much criticism and very specific things about all of them in different ways. And I just hate that a lot of that is rearing its ugly head for this game that so far has looked perfect.
Right, yeah. It's been everything you've wanted. Yeah. Everything they've said or done up until this point is you've been like, I can't believe you're nailing this. This is the ultimate.
Yeah, and when even the pacing of the direct was so weird where it's like, cool, we're going to open, start showing new characters, say that those are the final characters. The final characters, then keep going and be like, oh, there's DLC. But then at the end, be like, oh, but there's also this bonus character. He's not DLC, but he's also not a base fighter. It's like the messaging is just all over the place with this. And it's like, whatever. But my point is, why? Why did we just spend 40 minutes having a weirdly paced, weird messages going through the minutia of all the menus and details for stuff that like people could just see for the first time and be like, okay, this is a thing in this game. Fine. Sure.
And then, because that's what you guys want.
No.
You are Smash players and you're nerdy and you love all this nerdy stuff. You loved it every night when he would give you a bedtime story that told you what amazing things were happening. And sometimes they were characters. Sometimes they were just, hey, here's how you use a help menu.
And that's true. And those were always the most frustrating nights. But that's just, that was a daily thing that's happening. This is a appointment viewing 40-minute thing where people knew. Like, they made this and they understood that people were going to wake up at 7 a.m. to watch this.
Say this thing happened at 10 a.m. and you'd have to get up that early. Would you be as mad?
Yeah, no, totally. it's
not like I understand how upset you are. I'm trying to give you some levity on your dark day.
Yeah, and again, the greatest game of all time for you. This game's still going to be freaking amazing. It's just, and again, they spent so long talking about Spirits mode, and I'm like, this is literally just making an old great mode worse with taking event mode and turning it into this other fucking thing. But then they end the whole thing with, oh, but actually there also is a story mode. Like, it's not the main thing on the menu.
Yeah.
That's Spirits mode. But if you go into Games and More and click in, and then eventually there's an adventure mode that's the World of Light. And it's, you know what? It's not, don't think it's Subspace Emissary, because it's not. And these are quotes.
I know,
It's less story and more fun. And then they start showing it, and I'm like, where's the fun?
Yeah.
No! And like, to be less dramatic here, the story mode, I'm super excited for. Like, the cinematic they showed, having the song, I'm like, this is goofy in the best way.
Yeah.
I love it. If they had that and it was, and we've seen hints of it, we see the boss fights in it. They're bringing back some of the bosses from Brawl's story mode. I'm like, that's cool. We already know Dracula's a boss. We know Rathalos from Monster Hunter's a boss. That's all super cool. And I'm like, that's going to be great in this. And then I'm sure they'll have event mode type matches going through. I'm like, this is great. But then all the world map stuff and the weird puzzle solving on the world map and like getting the stickers to use the Lapras to do stuff. I'm like, this just looks gimmicky. I have no hope for it at all being as good as the rest of the game. And that's why I'm really upset about this, guys.
I understand.
That makes like sense. A legitimate grievance.
Yeah, you've explained it well. You've explained it well here.
George writes in and says, the Smash Direct was disappointing to me. Do you think the leak ruined it? Personally, I was upset that they relegated Rex from Xenoblade Chronicles 2 to a Mii costume and Springman from ARMS to an assist trophy. Sakurai mentioned that they would be creating additional characters from scratch, so I'm not sure why they couldn't just wait to make Rex a character later on. I feel like Smash is the type of franchise that needs to rep its exclusive franchises properly. At this point, I even think Sony did a better job with PlayStation All-Stars Battle Royale. LOL, I'm just kidding. Anyway,
I just threw up in my mouth a little.
Love all that you guys do.
I'll take this one. So I understand you're upset about Rex and whoever the other fucking guy was, who's also a Springman from, that's his name, of course, from ARMS. We all love Springman. Mm-hmm. The real travesty is Where's Dry Bones? Mm-hmm. What does this man have to do?
More Mario
not
reps.
To mention, yeah. Not to mention, all right, you have the ability to have shadow characters, whatever the fuck you call them.
Echoes,
thank you very much. Where's Koopa Trooper? Put Koopa Troop in there, and then you get two for one. Get Dry Bones as the alt skin. It's easy. This shit writes itself and prints money. Mm-hmm. But instead, guess what? Rex has a costume in Springman from the hit ARMS when we had nothing else to play there. Fuck everybody.
So, I don't fully agree with this, because I do think that just because we haven't seen it in the past doesn't mean we won't see it in the future. Yeah. We know we're getting five more characters, and just because they are assist trophies or have this or that doesn't mean that they're not going to be one of the five. However, I don't think they're going to be one of the five.
Yeah.
And that was another weird thing for this direct, where I'm like, they are just writing off characters left and right. They're like, guess what? We're getting into assist trophies. And they start showing, I'm like, oh, there's Shadow. Oh, there's Isaac from Golden Sun. Like, not only was the Grinch thing fake, it ain't happening. Yeah. Like, those characters are not going to be playable in this game. And for them to then later go all the way through the trouble of being like, and Rex, it's too late to get him in the game. He's a costume, so use your imagination. I hope that's good enough. Like, that's paraphrasing, but they literally said that. And I'm like, this is just such fucking bizarre messaging. And then, like, seeing Geno as a thing, it's just like, I don't know, man. There's just so many weird fucking calls. Having Bomberman be a assist trophy, I mean, he's not playable.
It's going
to
be okay.
It's going to be more than okay. It's going to be great.
Yeah, you have to understand 99% of the people who pick up this game, myself included, are just going to be like, oh, cool, there's Bomberman. All right, playing games. Like, yeah. I don't even, I'm never going to think about it.
I'm getting sick upon.
Get out of here, bug.
He's there.
Oh, yeah, he's all over. I'm getting sick upon as an assist trophy. I can live with it, but yeah. Bomberman would have been a
Bomberman would have been cool.
Fighter.
And I'm using him as a weird example, but Isaac is legit. Yeah.
Right. I agree. Shadow Isaac is legit. From Dead Space should have had
and Shadow should have been a Sonic Echo character.
And everyone in America, I hate Banjo-Kazooie, and I want him in Smash Brothers.
Yeah.
I think he'd be fantastic. He's going to beat the crap out of him.
I really
as DLC, I think that makes sense. Yeah.
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 Do you still think that there'll be, like, a chance? Like, where do you think right now with the five DLC characters? Where's your head at?
They said that they haven't started being developed yet. Okay. I don't believe that at all.
Of course not.
And there's a lot of weird signs because
they're talking about February 2020.
February
right?
2020. Yeah. By then, all five characters will be out. The Piranha Plant does not count as one of those five. Right. So that is the sixth.
That's like a additive pre-order / you can buy it later. You can buy it later. They said it's like
But they said that he is not going to be ready for launch, and it might take a couple months for him to come out.
Yeah.
If they're already working, they have him working enough that he can be in a trailer, they need a couple months to make this character work in this game. They must be working on the DLC already.
Well, if they want to get sure they've got their done. List. They've got their short list. They've got the art. They've got their moves. They've got their concept stuff. They're fooling around with it. But they're also probably cramming to finish this game, too.
Yeah.
So, I mean, they may. When they say they're not working on it, they may mean we don't have him inserted into the main code right now. He's off in our weird matrix holding area fighting a giant plant. But, you know.
Yeah.
I don't know.
But again, to go back to all of the feedback here, I appreciate you guys like being there. But please, I hope you've listened to everything I just said, where it's just like, there is real criticism here, and it has nothing to do with being a baby and being mad that more characters aren't in the game.
I got one more question for you, if you don't mind, about this. What about the Amiibo stuff for you? Did you care?
I'm not an Amiibo guy.
Okay.
On purpose, where I'm just like, that would just take way too much space and money. So,
Gia would love it. Yeah. It's a great decoration item.
It's a decoration item.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah, I only have a couple of them, but I wondered if any of the ones that came out were announced for today spoke to you at all. Or
no. I am extremely excited for a bunch of goofy cinematics, though, in the story mode. And that was my favorite thing about Subspace Emissary, because even though the game there was not that great and not that fun, the cinematics made it super worth it, because they were so weird. And the one that we got today proves that the weirdness is going to continue. Jared, it's time for mobile game or bullshit.
Stop eating your fucking Cheetos back there, huh? Play the goddamn song. Hit the fucking play button. It's so easy, Kevin. Man. You just sit back there, legs up, munching on these fucking Cheetos. You don't hit the goddamn button.
It's mobile game or bullshit. It's mobile game or bullshit. Jared's gonna read some stuff and we'll figure out if it's over me or not.
Ladies and gentlemen, today's mobile game or bullshit is mobile game or grunge band. We haven't done a musical category in a while. So, grunge mobile band. Game or grunge band 7 today. I went last week with VR and didn't do descriptions because I feel like the descriptions have almost been making it too easy lately.
I like that. I like it when there's no description.
There's no description today.
Yeah, okay, good. Okay,
so we're just going straight. No description today. All right.
As the reigning champion of mobile game or bullshit, I like whatever you like, Jared. Just make it happen.
All right. Who lost last week? I believe that was Tim.
Tim's never beaten me, never will.
All right, so that means, Tim, you did win a game once.
I did.
Well, he's won the game before I wasn't here.
Yeah.
He's never beaten me.
Just as you've never beaten Nick.
Right? Damn!
Okay.
Wow.
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 Just check it.
Wow! It's true, because Nick's the champ.
All right, here we go. Tim, you're first, since...
Let's do it.
All right, here we go. Mobile game or grunge band, number one, Carjack Streets.
Grunge band.
Grunge band. Greg Miller.
I'm going to say that's a mobile game.
Mobile game. Number two, Greg Miller, Screaming Trees.
Oh, fuck. I'm going to say that's a grunge band.
Grunge band.
Grunge band.
Grunge band. Number three, Castle of Magic.
Fuck.
Mobile game.
Grunge band.
Grunge band.
I'm going to say that is a mobile game.
Mobile game. Number four, Girl Trouble.
Ooh. Do we have a daily double in this?
Nope, no daily double.
Fuck me running.
It's a good game.
Fuck. Fuck you, Jared.
It's a good one.
Oh my god, it's so 50-50. It could go either way. I'm going to say mobile game.
Mobile game.
I'm also saying mobile game.
Mobile game. Number 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
5.
Townsman 5.
Shit.
Grunge band.
Grunge band.
Grunge band.
Grunge band. Number 6.
Can I ask a question about that one? We already made the answers, but is the 5 written out or is it the number?
It is the number 5.
Ooh.
Do you want to change it?
No.
Okay.
Rules are the rules.
Yeah, the rules are the rules. Once it's written, it's written.
All right. Yeah. I didn't know if it was like chess where you take your finger off the piece. I didn't know. Number 6, Greg Miller, Mad Season.
Mad Season. Two words?
Two words.
Can you use it in a sentence?
Mad Season is either a mobile game or a grunge band.
I fucking got you.
I'm going to say a grunge band.
All right.
Me too.
There you go. And finally, Chuck Norris, Bring the Pain.
Game. Mobile game.
Mobile game.
That is a mobile game.
That is a mobile
grunge
game.
Band.
No, Chuck Norris wasn't as big a deal back then.
Right. Grunge is still a thing now, dude.
If grunge is still a thing right now and you were playing a grunge band, fucking stop. That's the long and short of it.
That's the end of it?
Stop. Take off your flannel, cut your hair, get a job, contribute to the economy. We could fix this place if you weren't out there singing about Chuck Norris.
Number one, Carjack Streets. Totally a 2008 mobile game.
Greg Miller on the board with one. Tim Gettys, zero.
Grand Theft Auto clone, Carjack Streets.
Wow. They're just, fuck it.
Number two, Screaming Trees. Grunge band.
Tim Gettys gets on the board, but it's still 2-1, Greg Miller.
2-1, Greg Miller.
Boo.
Number three, Castle of Magic. Mobile game.
Greg Miller, killing it. perfect game on the on the plate. Who knows?
What's
we'll
the
see.
Score right now?
Right now it is 3-1.
Greg 3-1. Miller. Tim Geddes behind. Who'd have imagined? Hate number it. Four, Girl Trouble.
Trouble Fox now.
Girl Trouble? Grunge Band.
Gah! We all said mobile game. We all lose.
All right. So but still I still 3-1, the best one, right?
Yeah.
Townsman 5? Mobile game.
Fuck. We all said Grunge Band.
It was because of the 5.
Mobile game.
Had I known that?
By the way, all three of those off this were released in 2008 so far, the three mobile games I've read so far. Wow. They're all very old ones and stolen out of the same
article. I appreciate
that.
You did a lot of work.
Yeah. Oh, no, I just looked up one article about mobile games in 2008.
Fair.
Number 6, Mad Season. Grunge Band.
Hey, good job, Tim. You got a point. So did I, but no big deal.
What's the score overall?
Right now, it's 4-2. Me. There's no way he can catch up. Tim is dead. Bury him.
Dead.
Bring me a real
seven.
Challenger. I want Nick Scarpino again, ladies and gentlemen.
Number 7, Chuck Norris, Bring the Pain, is indeed a mobile game. I thought that one might be a throw-off, but you guys were on top.
5-3.
You got it.
Greg Miller wins, and he wants Nick Scarpino. And I'll tell you what. Jared, here's what I want you to do.
Yes, sir.
All right? Saturday, clear your fucking schedule, come do Extra Life, and in the party mode evening, prepare me a mobile gamer bullshit.
How epic do you want this to be?
For the record, I almost got an erection when you said that. Because that was awesome.
Damn.
How epic do I want this to be?
Oh, my God.
I mean, in terms
I don't
of...
I like how you said that, man.
Oh, I'm fucking
like the
throbbing.
Oh, my God. That, too. That, too, is bad.
And it's veiny, Tim. It's veiny.
No. Oh. All right. We got to back
let's
up.
Talk, we'll talk offline.
All right. Because
I need to know what epic means. But I want Nick, but I already have another game going, so we need to figure out a... I want it to be epic.
Okay.
And I want you to wear a suit.
A suit?
That
I don't
seems
know if
like asking a lot.
I might. I could get my suit to the
cleaner.
How about
this, I don't
know Kevin?
How about
Saturday?
I ask you to play the fucking music?
It's mobile game or bullshit. It's mobile game or bullshit. Jared's gonna read some stuff and we'll figure out if it's over me or not.
I don't think my suit fits anymore.
Now, what I
want to
say is that Kevin nailed it. Kevin punched into my one. I wrote right there on these notes that are up on Patreon. Kevin is the best. Because we're playing a character right there, Kev, but you're killing it. I love you, big guy. I know you're tired and your hair's big and you're gross.
Hair's big.
You're gross because you haven't showered.
You got
showered.
That big hair? Sure, he doesn't got that big hair. This is a fun episode, guys.
Yeah, a good time.
I'm happy.
Here's
happy.
Here's what I'd like to ask you. When's the last time we had an episode of the show that wasn't fun? Been a long time. Shouldn't have left you without
right.
a dope beat to step to.
I feel like we're only 6 episodes away from the epic episode 200.
We've been talking a lot of big plans about that live event. Probably call it Kind of Funny Live 4. Do a lot of stuff with it. No, I made that up. Sorry.
It's going to be the 100th episode anniversary of our classic Kind of Funny Games Cast episode 100, where we just did the most kind of funny thing of all fucking time. Do you remember this?
No, I don't remember
anything.
Did
you forget about it?
No. We knew it was happening. We just didn't plan it. But we decided we're going to do the Kind of Funny top 100 games of all time.
Oh, that's awful. I remember this.
And we're like, we're going to fuck it. We had a spreadsheet up and we just started like talking and we just kept talking and we just kept adding games. And our final list, I think, was somewhere around like 460 or something. And we just ended the episode.
And we're like, oh, we're going to come back to it.
Now we're going to Kind of Funny. We're going to come back to it. Kind of Funny 200.
No.
Can we pull that list out?
I still have the list, I think.
Do not do that. We can come up with a better idea.
Please. Yeah,
we got 6 weeks to do something.
Like, it was fine, but God, it was dumb.
Just so you know, we're not coming up with any more ideas. We're just going to sit here and be like, it's 200.
Hey, Reddit, because I look at Reddit, come up with ideas for Kind of Funny Gamescast episode 200.
What is 200?
Get fucking loaded, you know?
That's every episode, Kevin.
That's good content,
It'll be right before Christmas, right? That'll be probably the last episode before Christmas.
Oh, man.
I'll look into it.
Or the first after. I'm not sure which.
Yeah, we're probably not going to do anything.
The real question is, because you know... Jared Petty was on Kind of Funny Games Daily today.
Yes, he was.
Talked about Smash, right?
Uh-huh.
How we both love Smash, but we're not great at it. Mm-hmm. Even though Kevin ranked me really high in the Kind of Funny rankings,
I'm
which I appreciate.
Not higher than you.
I mean, you're high.
He said I was better than Nick, which
no.
I think
Nick is a psychological thing.
On my best day, I think I can challenge Nick, but it's also because we play it once every 9 months.
Yeah.
When it gets down to daily competition, within the first half week, I'll be better than Nick. Guaranteed.
I don't think you will.
Guaranteed. Okay.
I
appreciate that. Yeah. I like that.
Nick's good. Nick has
No. This is not me knocking
Wait,
Nick.
Real,
Kevin really knocked none
real
of
quick. I think that Nick is good against Tim. It's mostly because he gets in Tim's head.
Nick and Curran are two people that they have these psychological warfare.
Curran's actually better than Tim.
Curran
that's a fact.
Fucks me up because he like gets in my head. But he also is, at this point, probably the best Smash player I know.
What?
So what we all right? So I'm sorry. What we need to get down to business on, right, mm-hmm. is the fact that Jared was like, "I'm just gonna play online because nobody ever plays." And they're like, "All we're gonna do here is play. Mm-hmm. A life's amazing here. It's gonna be great."
No, can't wait.
I feel like we should at least for those final December episodes turn the post shows into, "Hey, we're just gonna, play Smash."
That sounds fun.
I mean, I just want to turn all the shows into us just playing Smash.
Okay,
I've been about that for life for long.
I'm on board with that.
Jared is totally right. It's the last day that we were supposed to be working.
There we go.
Again, actually, Kevin, take the fucking week off. Or I'll hit you in the head of the frying pan.
That's true. We're doing two more after. Because
now, why did you put Kind of Funny Gamescast 202 on the 19th and Kind of Funny Gamescast 201 on the 20th?
I'm not the one.
Ladies and gentlemen, this has been the Kind of Funny Gamescast. Thank you very much for joining us. We will see you next week. Stay tuned for the post show. If you do not support us on Patreon, you could watch this post show as well. Just go to patreon.com/kindoffunnygames. Till then, love you. Keep it pretty.